Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. We are at Mars, the McGowan Art Retreat. And it's good to be back in Sesames, Mississippi. I would like to encourage you to go to DaleRendonFoundation.org if you would like to support the Dale Rendon Foundation. That is a huge part of why my guest here today is here. Rosemary Jones, how are you?
I'm doing good. It's, like I said, it's my first time out here on the pavilion. It's a gorgeous night.
So. I like to do all my interviews right here.
Yeah, you picked a good spot.
Yeah, so weather or you hear these bugs. Mm-hmm. I don't mind them. But you remember the locusts when they came earlier in the summer?
Oh, yes.
We tried to do an episode. We ended up doing it in the cabin you're staying in.
Uh-huh.
You can still hear them.
I bet. I remember I toured an apartment. This past summer, and even with the music on in the car, you could hear their music outside, but I like their little songs they sing.
Oh, yeah, and same key, and they don't stop. And then when you thought it was over, here come a whole nother chorus.
Yes.
Yeah. Enough of the cicadas. They're my backing band for the podcast, and they're here with us tonight. But
yes.
Rosemary, just a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
I'm actually born and raised here in Starkville.
Ooh.
Yep.
You got some local talent.
Yes.
All right, so tell me a little bit about growing up. What was you into?
So I won't be shy about this, not one bit. I did not like Starkville growing up.
Okay.
It took me a long time to really appreciate the beauty that is a Mississippi as a whole, but
took me a long time too.
Yeah, but once you find that, you can take that piece of heaven, I feel like, wherever you go, and really appreciate other places. But yeah, my parents, my dad is a sports writer and my mom's interior decorator.
Okay.
And I have two brothers. From my perspective, we're 10 years apart, and I was the only one they planned for. But yeah, I've loved to create art ever since I could put my hands to paper.
Where'd that come from?
Well, I definitely would say my parents were very encouraging and inspiring. They, before I left to come out here, I made sure to just get both of their attention. I went over back to their house and I just said, hey, I want to tell you guys something. Thank you all for being awesome and encouraging me to do what I want to do. Because, you know, they don't have traditional career paths. What is traditional, so to speak? My first medium was a writer. And I definitely think I got that from my dad. Not the same flavor of writing, if
sure.
you will. But,
Oh, I've read your articles. It's all sport related.
Yes. So, I definitely got the writing aspect, I feel like, from him. And, my mom is such a resourceful creative. She can take nothing and make it look like everything. So I definitely say growing up, they were my inspiration.
Yeah. So your earliest memories of art was writing?
Writing, yes. I loved writing. I also loved to draw, a whole lot of scribble, painting, just whatever I could get my hands on. But it was writing. Before I could actually write legible words, I would just get a notebook and I would just scribble and pretend like I was my dad.
I still do that.
Yes.
But with coming up elementary, middle, high school, as far as what you thought that you were going to do with your life, what did that look like? What were your plans?
Oh, it changed on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah.
I liked the idea of doing something creative, but it always changed. I actually wanted to be a chef when I was little, and I had like drawn up a blueprint of a restaurant, and then I wanted a bakery. It was going to be called Dessert First. I had like even drawn up the little uniforms and everything.
Oh, nice.
Then I wanted to be a teacher. I don't know. The interests were constantly changing, but and then funneling into high school, They still were all over the place. Like, I originally wanted to go into international business, which I think is kind of funny to this day. Not to look down on anything, but yeah, I had so many different ideas and career paths, but it wasn't until about sophomore year, junior year, you know, when they really start pushing it, when they really start pushing that, the big question, I realized I really liked fashion, but beyond that, because I felt a little embarrassed of it at first. I felt like it was shallow. I felt like it didn't have much depth to it. But I was like, you know what? Everybody wears clothes. Everybody's got to put clothes on.
Yeah, that's like the funeral business.
Yes. Yes. Which I actually just read a really interesting book about this lady that worked at the crematory. Completely off topic, but Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. That's a really good book. You should check it out.
Smoke Gets in Your Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, completely off topic. But anyway, and I'll do that. I will do that.
That's fine with me. That's a good little plug. I've always wondered about the crematorium.
Yes. But, Lord, where was I? So beyond apparel and the art of putting an ensemble together, I started to get really fascinated with the textile industry and the waste that comes from that. And I went down a rabbit hole of research and just finding out that it's the second top polluter. It still is, especially as consumption becomes more rapid. And it's crazy to think that during the 80s, there used to be two seasons alone of production and putting that out there. Now there's 52, one for every single week in the year. And it's, I feel like that can be said about a lot of things that are produced nowadays. It's just completely different. But I didn't want to get consumed by the misery that it was. It's important to be aware, of course, but I wanted to find a way to help that, but also still be creative. And I find a lot of muse from that from my mom. Like I said, she's very resourceful and using what you have and then making something beautiful out of it. So I started a fashion club when I was in high school with my best friend, and that was... I remember there was somebody trying to start a gun club, and there seemed like there was more okays and yeses to that. It was more difficult than you think to put together a club like that in high school. But lo and behold, we did it. And that was really fascinating to see all the different people that came out for that. It wasn't just people interested in styling or whatnot, but we had graphic designers, marketers, behind the scenes, technology, all that good stuff. But everything we would use was from secondhand, so thrift stores or pieces people would donate. Our teacher that helped sponsor it, are you familiar with DECA? Have you ever heard of DECA?
No, tell me.
So DECA is a vocational class, and it's basically like a marketing class. But she had all kinds of sewing machines in her room, and she was the best teacher to help sponsor that, and she was super supportive. But we put on two fashion shows. And then COVID happened, and that was my senior year. And so that definitely threw a crossroads for everybody. But within that time, that's when I learned how to sew. And I can be very perfectionistic when it comes to learning things. My sewing machine definitely sat in the box for about 6-7 months before I actually started fiddling around with it. But it was during COVID that I actually learned to do that. YouTube University, it's the best.
Yes.
And messing up. That is how I learned through and through. Was some days I wanted to throw my sewing machine out the window. Some days I still do. Sewing teaches you a lot of patience.
I feel the same way about a guitar.
I can imagine.
You said a couple of interesting things. I wanted to take a step back. At the beginning of you getting into fashion, you said shallow. What would make secondhand... thrift store shopping and turning something old into something beautiful, what would be shallow about that?
Well, I feel like when you give that description, it's less shallow. But when you would just say like a fashion designer or something like that, there might be a difference between the two. But I don't know. I guess it was a lot of pressure in doing something that was unconventional and also understanding how to make a living out of it as well. But this is something I will still confidently say. I'm an artist, yes, but... I also enjoy having little odd jobs here, there, and everywhere. I worked for a farm for about 2 years. I work for a cleaning company now. I work on campus as well. I love to work with my hands. That is my favorite thing to do.
Yeah. And then, my high school experience was... I didn't have a clue what I was going to do. I was graduating. I was getting ready to walk. I didn't apply to go to any college.
Mm-hmm.
I had no plan. And things fell in place for me.
They always do.
And so I'm glad I never had that much pressure, and I wasn't going through the SATs and taking all these tests mm-hmm. and trying to figure all this out. And I was like, well, it'll be fine, I'm surely. But early days with you, like starting the fashion club, it's very cool because people seem to not want to take those kind of chances when you're young, maybe especially if it's something you're incredibly passionate about, because you're giving a little piece of yourself, and maybe of this middle school, high school, not exactly the nicest people. So, I mean, that's very cool, and it kind of led you to, I'm guessing, what you do now with the shows and things that you do.
Yes, so I definitely say beyond the designing and creative aspect, I love organizing things. I love putting together events. I love all that goes into that. It can be overwhelming. Yes, very overwhelming.
Always is.
But I really enjoy that. And I feel like during COVID, having the absence of that really built up that quench I had for it and made it that much more apparent that that was something I wanted to do. But yeah, going back to what you were saying about not having a plan, I mean, they push this narrative so, so hard. Why should a 17, 18-year-old have to make a decision that's the end-all, be-all for the rest of their lives? That's insane when you think about it.
It truly is.
That's insane. And I think that's also part of the journey is, you know, sometimes you figure out what you don't want to do more times than you figure out what you do want to do.
Yeah. And a lot of that was, like, my first job. I turned 15. My grandpa told me, you're old enough to drive, you're old enough to work. I already got your first job lined up. I was a farmhand.
Wow.
I spent all summer.
What kind of farm?
This was a cow farm.
Okay.
And I spent all that summer driving fence posts and putting up barbed wire fences. And when that was over, what do you think? Well, I know I don't want to do that.
It's hard work.
And then grocery store, and then I was a gas station attendant, and like going through like 16, 17, 18, always working, always doing something. And like you said, I knew I didn't want to do any of those things.
Yes.
But I had to do it.
You have to. And I don't know, sometimes the mundane helps give back more into what you want to do. I've been working since I was 15, too. I did babysitting, pet sitting. Then I worked as a dishwasher and a server. And then, are you familiar with Costume Party in town?
No, what is that?
Costume Party. So I worked there. It was my junior and senior year of high school. In the name, they provide a lot of costumes, theatrical wear, but also some vintage pieces as well. And Miss Connie, she's the owner. That's where I learned a lot about the professionalism aspect of it, but also how to take care of the garments, how to present them in a certain manner. And she really taught me a lot. So I was really grateful to have that job.
I'm learning a lot talking to you because I've never thought about this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, we haven't done these festivals in a long time, but with Munson Brothers, before there was a beer garden and before we were selling pizzas and people were coming to our storefront, all we did were we made beard oils and balms and soaps. I mean, it was literally Breaking Bad. I mean, we had the mask on and like we were messing with lye. You know, if you breathe that stuff, it can cause blindness.
Yes,
you know,
it can.
Ray Charles, shout out, buddy. But and we would pack up everything that we made, and we were going to these festivals.
Where at?
All throughout Mississippi,
okay.
Alabama, like Tuscaloosa, Market Street in Columbus, the Cotton District here. There's a great festival in Hattiesburg we always used to do, Oxford, you know, anything that we could get into.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Ryan, like, when I was helping him set up, I would set up an entire shelf, and then I would move on to something else, and there he was, destroying everything that I did, redoing it, and I was like, do you not want me to touch this? And he was like, it's an aesthetic, and that's where I started, like, learning about, like, the presentation of the eye.
Presentation's big, yes.
It's like, it's one thing for us to be out here beard calling, that's what we would call it. Somebody's walking down the street, and they got a nice beard, I'm about to say, hello, I got something for it. And but after that, they start looking at what we have, presentation has to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always, because we had this Volkswagen van.
Yes.
Westphalia. And we literally pop the top up, bring the awning out, and set up our table underneath. And that was a draw in itself.
Right.
And then the product and it relating to people and all that. It was always such a fun game to learn.
Yes.
And I miss doing it.
It is fun. It's fun. You're creating a scene, and then, I don't know, you never know who you're going to run into, and people. I love the curiosity of people. They always want to know what you're doing and what you got going on. Mm-hmm. That I enjoy that. And also being on the other side of it, too. You want to know what someone's got going on, too. And I don't know, I love hearing people's genius.
Yeah.
I love hearing people go on and on about what they love. So
when you would graduate, and I understand that you would go on to create, like, different events.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about how that started for you.
So I've done 12 fashion shows to date. I participated in this fashion show with, have you ever heard of Art Bazaar?
Yes.
In Memphis?
Yes.
Yes. David Yancey, he puts all that together, but they had had their first ever fashion show, and it was also a huge event, too, because it was the first event since COVID happened,
mm-hmm.
and that was the first fashion show I was ever actually able to present things I had actually made, so that was a big deal to me at the time, and also being the first event I'd been at since COVID, but after that, and then also from past inspiration from putting together the fashion shows with the fashion club, I then started doing them in Starkville. So I did that, the first one in Art Bazaar in March 2021, and then I had my first one in Starkville, or like first one where I had done the pieces in at 929.
Shout out.
Well, not rest in peace, but the old location. But I did that one in May of 20. I'm getting my dates mixed up. I think it was that same year, I believe. Yeah, 2021. But how the process with that goes is the models at first were just friends that were interested in being a part of it, but then it's volunteer based, and I would have friends of friends or people would hear about it and just be interested. And how that goes is I usually have anywhere from 15 to 30 models, and I'll take their measurements in, and they'll kind of give me a debrief of what they like to wear, what they're comfortable in. That's the approach I like to take with doing fashion shows, because I know with some of them, people just put people in whatever, and then that's the end of it. But I like for it to be a collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
And when they feel more comfortable and confident, that just makes it brings it all together. But yeah, and then I would make all these pieces for them from scratch.
What's your slogan?
My slogan?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
You're gonna love the way you look. I mean, what do you got?
Well, for my brand Pink Plaid, it's keep it moving, since everything is base secondhand, just to keep things in circulation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Very cool. Well, and I don't want to get too far ahead, but very interested to hear from you about this is the body art.
Yes.
How did you get into that?
Well, it just kind of happened, as all my other creative ventures have. I've always loved to paint, and not landscapes or portraits. Much respect to people that do that, but my favorite pieces and the way I kind of go about creating is I have no idea what it's going to look like. Sometimes I do have a vision that I go off of in my mind's eye, but I just put, whether that's pen to paper, scissors to fabric, paint to canvas, or body in this case, just kind of happens. So I had this mannequin that was gifted to me. It was just a I'm forgetting the name of it, just like the top half. Any other time I'd be able to remember the name. It's just a mannequin. But anyways, I started painting on it, and I would bring it to vending events and markets, just kind of like a pastime, just something to do. And someone came up and they're like, can you paint? So she put her leg up on my chair I had, and I started painting her, and I was like, I've never done this before. I really like this. And kind of similar to doing on the mannequin, but real body canvas. But So then I would do it with my friends sometimes. And my best friend in high school, we would, like, paint each other's backs, too. So that's kind of, like, where it started. But, yeah, and then I did it for a workshop on campus. I did a live body exhibition. And then I did Madison not that long ago.
Yeah.
And I collaborated with a group on campus, Streetcar. We did an event. It was an open mic, and I did a live body painting exhibition there too. So,
oh, what's that like? You got a lot of people just hanging out watching you paint, and
yeah, and people actually they'll come in too. They'll grab a paint or they'll grab a paintbrush and they'll come to my palette and they'll start doing it too. So,
nice.
I actually the first like workshop I did for it, I brought the mannequin because I didn't know how people would react, if they'd be uncomfortable. Nobody painted that mannequin. About 5-6 people, they wanted to come in on the action. So yeah. You never know how people are going to respond, but they were very intrigued.
What kind of paint do you use for that media? Because I know you don't want to poison the skin.
Oh, no.
So to speak.
Always water-based. And I like to, you know, do a swatch beforehand just to make, because I know I have really sensitive skin. So I know what that's like. That's no fun. But I'd always do a swatch on the person's skin beforehand just to make sure.
Yeah. Very cool. So exiting high school, fashion club, and we've kind of put the cart before the horse a little bit, but man, it's your big break. You can finally get the heck out of Starkville, but you stayed. What made you stay?
I did stay, and I'm still here. So are you familiar with SCAD?
Yeah,
it's
but
an art school.
Yeah, but tell the audience.
So SCAD is it's a private art school. Their base campus is in Savannah, Georgia. They have other campuses in Atlanta, La Coste, and Hong Kong. They just have four campuses, but Savannah's kind of like the base. But I'd gotten accepted into the Atlanta campus, and I was all set and ready to go. And then that's when COVID happened, and which, in hindsight, I'm grateful for, because it gave that moment of reflection of, do I want to do this? Because tuition did not budge, not one single bit. And that was already one of those things. I didn't know how I was going to figure it out, but I was going to figure it out. But I also was okay with dropping out. I'm a big DIY learner. Mm-hmm. That's how I learn best. However, I do think there's, like, concrete foundational things that you need to know. Like, there's still a lot more I could learn about fibers in and of itself, like different materials and whatnot. But yeah, at that time I was deciding if I wanted to go or not. And then I was presented an internship in Memphis. So I took that route instead. And I interned through one of my friends. Her name's Sumo. And she has a brand titled This Is Intentional. And she's a painter. She's a designer. She's a chef. She's a musician. She does a little bit of everything. And to this day, I can confidently say that taught me much more than I believe school would at that time. With my kind of learning. The way I absorb information the best.
Yeah, I ended up going to Shelton State.
Okay.
After high school, my grandma. All your friends are at Shelton State and you ought to go.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'll go walk the halls, and if I see anything, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a industrial electronic program, robotics, hydraulics, all kind of everything.
Right.
And my best friend from high school, he was right down the hall, CNC and machining and all that. And I was like, we'll have lunch every day. It's fine. Got that degree. And I always liked it. When I went on, I'd go down to the University of Mobile, and that's where I would go do my bachelor studies. But at the end of these degrees, the final classes were always field work.
Yes.
And it was always hands-on, and I was like, man, thank God to get out of this classroom. I'm tired of doing math and all this. And I just want to put my hands on something.
Exactly.
And figure it out and see if I actually like working with it. And it's just the way I learned. If I can't put my hands on it, I mean, like, trying to tell me a concept, it's going to be foreign. I ain't going to get it. So I get that. And we are at Mars, and Joe McGowan has sat down to join us.
You lucky dog.
So, Joe, I was curious to ask you, with the Dale Random Foundation and everything that you do for the arts out here, new resident, we have Rosemary. How did you and the foundation go about picking Rosemary?
So it's a process of a lot of people send in, it's not a strict application, but I do have the information on my website at joemcgowan.com. And, you know, you can find out, and it tells you what to send me now, and that's kind of new. But we have a list of people who've asked, who want to come, and I can only do about 4 paid people a year for time and everything, and money as well. But sometimes I ask people also that I think might be a good person to fit in, you know, and sometimes it's timing, like if they can get away at the time of year where I can have them. In this case, Rosemary and her boss was amenable to letting her take some time off, and I think she was really happy to let you come out and participate.
Very supportive.
In this. So that's really awesome. Not everybody can take off 2 weeks and come out, and you know, maybe they have a family, maybe they have a whatever, they just can't. And so or maybe they can't now and they could another time. But so it's not a linear list, you know, it's like I got maybe 20 people in this list, my own list, and you might move up or down depending on, you know, a lot of things. And and as far as selection, really, really, I make this selection, because I'm looking for people I think will fit in out here in Mars, and I'm looking for people I think I want to have, you know, my family lives out here. I want everybody to feel safe on both sides. I don't want anybody to feel unsafe, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I typically come up with some ideas, and then I talked with some of the board members, but especially Andrew Rendon, and we talk about it. And you know, I mean they're staying here, so I make the final decision, you know, and they can recommend people, anybody can recommend people, and we'll talk about it a little bit. But in Rosemary's case, I think I asked you, you know, I just I'm looking at people. I want local and regional, and you know, I've had other people, national, international, but I want different kinds of people here, different types of that do different kinds of art or whatever, music, and but I want local and regional, whatever, for different reasons. But I'm looking for people locally that you know, I think are doing things that are making a difference in the community. Rosemary is like 23. She's been doing this. I mean, we've been seeing her doing stuff for a few years now, like 17. I think you did your first, you know, and I've seen other young people doing events very young too. And I really love the spider webbing out of all these people doing events locally, and it's not just Starkville. It's all over the Southeast, probably everywhere, but I love seeing it. And it's this underground, you know, cool network of people. You know, we're part of different online chat groups, like on Instagram, vending groups, and you start seeing how many people are popping up with little shows, and it's crazy. It's awesome. But she's doing it, doing cool stuff, not just here, like Huntsville, I think, in Memphis and
Atlanta,
you know, maybe the Birmingham, maybe that's.
I did, yes, I did.
The mill there, the steel.
My friend put together a festival at Sloss Furnace.
That's amazing. That's a great place. So, you know, I'm just really impressed when I see someone. Like a couple years ago, I wouldn't have asked her, but like also I want people to be at least 21, I think now, you know, but like I'm watching people as they grow and see how they're doing and see if they continue to do it, and it's like you can tell it's a passion. That you're doing something not just for yourself, but for the community and the region, and you can tell. You know, I really appreciate that, and I want to encourage that. And I hope when we have someone out here like Rosemary, that it'll also encourage Rosemary to further what she's doing even more, and then maybe someone will be inspired by her. Not that she's inspired by me; I have no idea, but maybe a little. You know, but maybe she, you know, all these people, other people will be inspired by you. You know, that's what I hope. So. You know, I don't judge art, really. So, like, her art, you know, isn't, like, why I invited her. Her art's great. It's cool. She's doing fun stuff. You know, that. But it's more her activity and all. You know, I just really think it's awesome.
Thank you.
Right on. So we have a meet and greet this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And are we going to do an art show at the end of the residency?
We'll be doing that next Thursday. I'll have a exhibit of everything I've been working on so far. So.
Where is this going to take place?
It'll be at the Dale Random headquarters.
Hey, over on Stark Road.
Yes. I'm happy to see more traction over there, too. I think
100 GT Tims.
Yeah, GT Tims.
6 to 9 p.m. next Thursday, mm-hmm. November 14th.
But that's something I've really enjoyed seeing over the past few years. You saying more people popping up, presenting their art, vending, you know, really standing in that. But also I feel like within the past few years, as someone that does events, that was something that we kind of had troubleshooting with, was there was only a few different venues you could choose from. So it's good to see that there's starting to get more versatility with other places to showcase that. Yeah. So I'm happy to see the Del Rendon headquarters get more traction.
Oh, yeah.
Smell the roses.
Sorry. And just with the meet and greet Sunday, mm-hmm. We're going to be maybe... You want to paint somebody up Sunday?
Well, the next Sunday, I'll have Madison come. That'll be on the 17th from 2 to 5 as well, and we'll do a live body painting exhibition. Cool.
So this Sunday, it's 2 to 5, mm-hmm. I think we said, and it's here at Mars, the McGowan Art Retreat and Studio. It's 211 Sesames Road, and you can Google that. You can type in McGowan Art Retreat. It's on Google Maps, Mars, whatever. There is a chance of rain, and we're hoping it gets out of here before the afternoon. So, you know, if it's rainy, still come out, unless it's severe weather, and we may have to, we'll work around that later. But if it's just a little rain, come on out, enjoy it, embrace the rain. We haven't had much.
We haven't had it.
You know, but we're looking forward to having people meet with her in person. I think that's always been one of the funner things we do out here with the artists, when people can connect personally. And I would say also, if someone really wanted to meet her one-on-one, come out, you can contact us or me, and we could arrange to have a meeting at some other time. She's working, but I think you'd be...
And those events, the Sundays, when I can make it, I love seeing the people come out here and meeting, and some of the interactions, and like, I mean, sometimes we got people putting on a complete session, mm-hmm. like Karina.
Mm-hmm. She did a workshop.
Yeah. Okay. And
Cyanotype.
Incredible.
Yes.
And you got to see it, the whole process.
Movement has the biggest deals of the holiday season and the sleekest watches around. Whether you're gifting for family, friends, or yourself, shop 30 to 60% off Movement's variety of designs, colorways, and functionalities. From the thinnest automatic dress watch under $500 to waterproof guarantee adventure-ready sport watches to rare ceramics. Be the good gifter this year. Shop 30 to 60% off now at movement.com and enjoy fast and free shipping. That's MVMT.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And then you got to see it developed.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it'll be very interesting, I bet, to show off some of the textile skills there.
Yes.
And it's what is also interesting is, I mean, we don't ever know how many people who's going to come, but the diversity and variety of people that have come have surprised me, like from families with little children, mm-hmm. to older folks, you know, maybe with higher status in the community, you know, to college people, like, you know, just all kinds of walks of life, you know, of life. I find that the interactions is from everybody has been 100% positive, mm-hmm. too. And even meeting people, in some cases, one group meeting a group that they maybe hadn't spent any time with, you know, and that's been really fun, you know. It's just eye-opening. It's been good. Oh, really good.
And I know that you've only been here for 3 or 4 days now.
I got here Monday.
Mm-hmm. Monday. And so you've had a little time to think about it. what are you hoping to accomplish or maybe identify with your art while you're here?
Well, I've, so within designing and just fiber arts in and of itself, I've mostly designed. However, I've taken this time, to really dive into a new modem of creating, and that's really zoning into fiber arts, because I love designing. I love the aspect of it from start to finish. However, where I find complications with it is when you have a vision and you know what you're looking for, you know what you want to create. When you get on that sewing machine, that vision isn't always going to carry over, because it's so geometric. It's so you have to do it just right. There's a method to the madness. But so far, I've really enjoyed. Guess you could tell them a little bit about what you've seen that I've been working on so far, but I really enjoy that the vision isn't really compromised as much. So, and also within this time, I really appreciate that the retreat serves as a time for not only creating art and being in that, but also a time for isolation and reflection of creating one's own schedule and how they want to spend their day. I've done fashion shows while working 30, 40 hours a week. So it was a bit intimidating when I first got here. I was like, oh, 2 weeks just to create. But it didn't take me long at all to settle. So it feels really good to find that groove.
And I do try to recommend artists. They don't always listen. Like, you don't turn into a robot. I even said it again today. And she's not that that's happening, but don't be a robot. You know, do your art, whatever. Take a walk, go sit out here and read, or go, you know, learn about some plants, or, you know, bring your friends out to work with you. I don't care, you know, but definitely use the time. It's a time where you're literally getting paid to make your art for your art's sake. That's pretty cool. I mean, it's not an opportunity many people have as artists, and I know I never had that. You know, you got to make the time, and I've just not slept most of my life to do it. But, you know, when you just have a chunk of time, it's crazy. And I hope, you know, when people are out here, it's not for everybody. I want you to be inspired by the nature and also maybe some of the activity that I'm doing. I want people to, like, you know, this is an old guy. He's doing stuff every day, and he loves it still. And he's like, I'm 60. You know, I'm, like, making art all the time. You know, I hope that, like, people see that energy and enthusiasm for creating and also doing stuff in the community, you know. And I'm not even really that nice. But, you know, imagine what someone who's like you, that's nice, could do. You know, it's like crazy. No. So the things she's working on now, they're artistic pieces that I've seen, very, like, kind of hanging, fabric, woven, colorful. They have, like, a worldly feel to them. I don't know what your influence and inspiration is exactly. Maybe you'd like to tell us more? Or have you talked about that at all?
Oh, I'd like to go there. Great question.
I don't know if there's an exact aha where I pull inspiration from, but I'd say saturation. I've always been intrigued by colors. I love seeing the pairing of things that you wouldn't imagine would once go together. And I definitely pull a lot of inspiration from nature as well. That, going back to what all is learned and having the retreat out here, what you were saying about being a robot and being so consumed in a project, I've done that many a times, but I feel like artists out here, they're also being taught how to take a break, when to take a break, because sometimes you don't know how to do that, especially when you're juggling all aspects of life, work, whatever that may be. But that break is what could give you so much more to put back into whatever you're working on. So I've really enjoyed stepping away from the machine, stepping away from the pins and needles, and just going outside and taking a walk. It's really beautiful to see I love seeing the fossils on the walk and seeing the moss on the ground and all the different patterns and colors and textures. So it rained last night, so it looked completely different on the walk I took today versus yesterday.
And it's beautiful at night too, if you go out with a light at night and you know, wander around. We haven't done it yet, but we're gonna take a walk or two, and I want to discuss some of the, you know, plants and whatnot out here that are unique I think that would be, I think you'll enjoy that.
Most definitely.
I mean, we have new species of organisms that have been discovered in this yard. Mm. You know, we've had researchers come from other countries to see them. Australia, Canada, that's true. And then, when you understand all this connection with timelines, I think it's really cool. Like indigenous people lived here. We found artifacts in the creek and areas, but we found mammoth-type bones in the creek, you know, and then the fossils are a different timeline from millions of years ago. And, you know, you're just seeing all these timelines coming together. And then we may use all these things. We may use the fossils in ceramics or hanging things or whatever, you know, and you may use some. And so there's a lot of opportunities that maybe you hadn't thought about. Every time you go somewhere new, you can incorporate that. And you may not use it right away either. You know, I think the way you work, and me too, you know, you let things soak in, and then it flows out on its own later naturally. I think that's the cool thing about art. I did have like a question about you, like your fabric design or whatever. Like, you're not creating clothing to sell wholesale. Mm-mm. You're creating art. So exactly. And I'm the same way. Like I'm not doing clothing, but like you're not. You know, your emphasis, I don't think, I don't know, isn't necessarily like I gotta have a perfect sewn line. It's more about creating something bigger, artistic. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Like I don't know.
It is most definitely a piece of art before it is. It is clothing, yes, but I definitely say it's a piece of art before it is clothing, and that is why I want to delve more into fiber arts and have enjoyed that process thus far being out here. But with garment making, it is construction. It is building. Your 3D canvas just so happens to be a body that is different every single time. So there's a lot that's incorporated into that, but it kind of breaks those barriers when I'm able to do it in what I've been creating so far, which is hard to describe. It's hard to put words to it, but...
And are you looking... You create unique pieces for individuals, do you think? Is that what you're saying?
Definitely.
You're not making, like, a mass market of, like, I don't want to have 500 of these jeans. Everything is different and unique.
I don't know if he shared this with you or not, but when I do design pieces, everything's one of one. I don't make the same thing twice.
You did mention, like, when you're earlier with the for the pieces you made, is it's for somebody, so I'm getting the measurements, and I like to know what they like to wear and what they want it to look like.
Right.
I could see Alan with a really cool tunic.
I could be Robin Hood,
you know, but like, you know, in little dangly things, yes. You know, and maybe mid thigh, maybe some rainbow kind of hosiery, you know, little pointy boots
and a pony hat,
dude. Joker,
I need some bells.
I think it'd be awesome.
Yes,
just keep it in mind.
Yeah, well, I might be getting measured. Look out. Yes, just one thing, like each time I get invited to come out here, whether to do the podcast or even just to hang out or maybe play a little music every now and then, just from my perspective, is like this is a factory reset. You have an opportunity to cut your phone off, get away from the social media, and just take this in, whether, you know, walking the trails during the day or sitting out here on this pier in the evenings or...
Mm-hmm.
It's a very natural, and I would almost call it some kind of a psychedelic.
Most definitely.
This place is incredible. I mean, I remember Abe still talks about the place, bringing Abe out here.
Abe Parchers.
He's a folk artist and a folk singer-songwriter.
Travels the world playing music. Awesome.
Wow. Yeah, he's in Europe right now.
Okay.
But, he told me, and that's why I brought him out here, that he was looking for some kind of a place to have some kind of solace, to be able to turn everything outside off and be able to
turn
just
off the noise.
Focus.
Mm-hmm. We need to get him out here.
And I was like, well, I would love to show you a place.
Yes.
Yeah. And he was like, where is it? And I was like, middle of nowhere.
Yes.
Perfect. And he got out here, and he wasn't lying about middle of nowhere, and he, you know, kind of walked and joked, gave him the tour, and he is still very curious about the place.
Yes.
We'll have to get him out here. He'll be perfect. He's really a talented artist, visually as well as musically.
Well, right on. Well, Rosemary, I'd like to know a little bit more about, like these events, Huntsville and Memphis. And I mean, how did Atlanta, how did these places open up to you? How did that happen?
Which place first? Before you want to know.
Which came first?
Memphis. I've always kind of had an open door in Memphis since I was little. I have family out there, and it was always an open door. Whether I had friends out there, I had relationships out there, and then I had an internship there. And my role in the internship was putting together events and also collaborations. And yeah, that what you were saying earlier about hands-on and actually doing field work, that's what really ignited me more than being in four walls in a classroom.
Yeah. I mean, you actually, like, I have no idea how to do this event, but you had to figure it out.
Yeah, and that things like that used to really scare me, but the bottom line, you're not going to know either way. So what's the point in fearing about it? And you might as well just show up, bump your head a few times.
I'm telling you, a month before, every time I do a festival, people are wanting to drug me. It's like, we got to get this guy Xanax, and I'm not taking anything. I've got to get through this ride. I mean, this is just where we are.
Right.
Is everything is coming together, and it could all fall apart.
Yes, and you just got to be okay with it.
Yeah.
But I would definitely say that pushed me out of my comfort zone, because prior to the internship, I had started doing pop-ups around town, and I still remember my first pop-up to this day. I felt like a goof out there with all my stuff. I really did, and I don't know, it's very vulnerable in a way, like presenting with your art or presenting with anything, but especially with something you made.
It's a piece
first
of you.
Time every yes. artist does it, they're like, yeah, it's pretty scary that first time.
Right.
Until you see.
But
reaction.
It's so inspiring seeing the people, so like I was saying earlier, the curiosities, the interests, that is such a spark to it. But yeah, it definitely put me out of my comfort zone. I used to not be a social person, not at all. I was a hermit through and through growing up. And that really put me out there, and I really appreciated Sumo and the internship. It wasn't an internship where you're hands and feet for someone else. She also encouraged what I do. And with all these like jobs I had or the internship, you can't get lost in the mundane to-dos with it. What skill set can you take from that to further on do what you want to do? And that taught me a lot about not learning how to sell for yourself, but in a way doing that, learning how to network, the confidence that comes with just not being afraid of what you do and speaking up for it. But yes, so I started my internship, and then I started doing pop-ups around Memphis as well. I got plugged in to do some fashion shows as well. And then my friend and I, this was 2021, we moved to Atlanta for summer. And we just so had, in that short period of time, we just so happened to stumble across the best creative connections we could have. And we had some events out there. We had one in our Airbnb. We had 150 people come out. It was crazy.
Nice.
And I got to work with a lot of people within the city and made connections I still hold dear to this day. And I could kind of entertain the thought of moving back there, but things kept on keeping me here. So I did what I could with what I had. But then I had some friends that had moved to Huntsville, so I would go visit there. And then I met someone in Huntsville. Her name's Zoe, and she had put together this event. It's called Nightlife. And it started out one Saturday a month. She would have a lot of DJs come out, vendors, food, just kind of a hodgepodge of everything, and it would be from 12 to 2. And I went out there, and I proposed the idea to her to do a fashion show. It's a collaboration. And so we did that this past June, and that kind of opened up the door in Huntsville. So I've been going back and forth. She puts together a lot of markets, and I've been participating in that. And then she did the one in Birmingham as well. So that's what's kind of kept my spark for still being here. I love to travel. I love to get up and go. I had, growing up, I had a 2001 Chevrolet Tracker. I loved her. She was very good to me. However, she was a point A, point B, not point C. So I could never go out of town with that. And I feel like that kind of limited and felt more stuck here. But this past May, I got my first big girl car. I paid for it. And ever since then, I've been on the go.
At least once. Mercedes, it's the best.
but at least once a month, I've been on the go somewhere doing something. So, and I enjoy that. I really do. Yeah. So,
well, that's cool. And I think that, like, just sharing a little bit about how you got your foot in the door in each of these areas, it sounds to me like, you know, you had to put yourself out there.
Right.
And the door may have not have been open, but you went and opened it for yourself. And I know a lot of people, there's artists in Columbus who I've been working with trying to get them out, because when we do live music or whatever we're doing, I like to include as much art as possible.
Yes.
And they're coming to me, I really want to do this, I don't know how, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it.
It can be intimidating.
All you need is a table, and I can help you with the rest.
Yes.
And but their biggest issue is, like you said with your story, like when it came to going to Memphis or whatever else, is shy.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get out there one time, that's usually enough. And you can see, hey, I have something I can do that other people can't do. I've noticed this about Rosemary, just watching her over the years. Like, she, when she first started doing little pop-ups, we sometimes participated in some of your pop-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And we could see, you just kind of... He kind of low key back there, you know, kind of quiet. You get a corner, and then it's noticeable the confidence you exude now, you know, when you walk in, and that's everything. Like, no one cares about you more than you in reality. You know, you got to be your own promoter. You got to believe in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, no one else is gonna believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
But I've noticed a big difference in your apparent confidence. It's obvious. Like, you seem like you know what you're doing. You have to, and once you get there, it's really helpful. I this is what I do. You make people believe it. That's the key, you know. And you believe it, and it shows. You know, it's very dramatic difference to me. I've noticed over the years. It's cool.
Thank you.
Like, just the way you walk, your attitude, everything. You know, just, it's like this. She's professional. You know. You know.
It's very professional. It's, walking up.
Thank you.
You know, it's a flavor that comes out of people when they feel more comfortable with what they're doing. You know, it's nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I don't know if there is anything else that you would like to get into. I have three more questions.
Okay.
And they may lead into some more things. I don't know. Question one, though, is for those listening, if they want to see your work, is there social media that you prefer or website? Where can people go to connect with you and what you do?
Yes, so I'd say I'm most active on Instagram. I do have a website, however, it can be its own beast sometimes to keep up with and update and whatnot. So I am most active on Instagram at Pink Plaid Circulated, and then my website is www.pinkplaidcollective.com.
Very so cool. Go check her out, give her a follow.
Thank you.
What she's doing. Question two is a little bit about the future, and I know it's hard to project, but what are some goals that you would like to get into next year? 2025 is knocking on the door.
Yes, it is. I definitely would like to venture out more. I'd like to tap into Austin a little bit, start doing stuff there. I have an aunt that lives there as well, but definitely travel more. Long-term goals, I would eventually like to set up a donation center where people can come and receive clothes as needed, and that's something I would also like to do within the community within the next few years, is because since I've started doing fashion design, I'll have local people regularly message me, reach out, and say they have clothes they no longer need. And I've become a little Salvation Army, and I just want to, you know...
You need a place.
Funnel that back out into people that need it, whether it's people that need work attire for interviews that may not have access to that, or sweaters for the wintertime. You know, whatever that may be, I want to give a platform to people come out and get that. So
look forward to holding you to that. That's a great idea.
Yes.
Yeah, like you need like a warehouse or something in the future, a building.
No kidding. So
that's really a great idea. I love that.
But in another sense too, I really want to zone in on the fiber arts. I'd love to do like a really big installation, like have a whole room to just have as a canvas.
I have a friend in Greensboro that I would like to connect you with.
Okay.
They have, I haven't been over that way in a while, but they have in downtown Greensboro, they have an art/museum.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring in different artists, and you set up just like you would at an art council.
Right.
But his main thing is he is huge into the textile arts and fibers and fabrics. He does incredible work.
Okay.
And I think y'all would both probably learn a lot from each other.
Yeah. I'd love to see his work and meet him.
Yeah, I'll show you that when we get done here.
Okay.
But just some of the things that, because Greensboro is a very small town.
Mm-hmm.
And three, and now I think they're up to eight. But they found that little town. It's just south of Tuscaloosa. It didn't have any culture. It didn't have any art. And the homes were cheap, and they're like the antebellum style, like you would have in like a downtown Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
They came in, started telling their art friends, and they've got these events, and they're beginning to build their own culture.
That's awesome.
And it's incredible, like what people like that can do, in a place. But Austin, like I think that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Keep Starkville strange.
Yes.
Keep Austin weird.
Yes.
That's very cool. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about that.
Thank you.
Last question to walk it out the door. Is was there anything that I may have missed that you would like to plug or talk about or dig into a little bit? I didn't want to leave anything on the table.
I did want to mention one thing about our show. We've talked to a couple of local musicians who are going to be coming to play.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Brister.
Brister Band. Mm-hmm.
And the Brister Band. And he plays guitar and sings amazing. I don't know if you know Andrew. He's really good. And then saxophone player.
Yes.
Jarrell Harris, I believe. They'll be playing. They're going to come play for her
event. Super excited.
And they're really awesome.
Very cool.
So keep that in mind. The Thursday event.
Mm-hmm. On the 14th.
Well, very cool. Anything else to do?
Well, I definitely want to give a huge shout out to Gowns for hosting this opportunity. Del Rendon Foundation, Mississippi Arts Commission. I'm just happy to be here. This is such a treat in so many ways, more than one. But I've only been out here 2 days, and it's already been a huge blessing. So, but yeah, I'm excited to see what will come from this. I hope I wasn't too vague in the long term goals and visions. That's kind of just been the culmination of when I started this. I had no idea what would happen. I still don't know what would happen. I have loose goals, of course, and small steps to acquire those said goals. But I'm just super grateful for all the support and community. That's how I've been able to do all of this, is community. I used to be a big, I'll just do it myself. I used to be very independent when it came to all that I was doing, but it is such a greater gift to allow others to be a part of that, but also you to be a part of that as well. And nobody can do anything alone. Nothing in nature happens alone.
Oh, we're always better together.
Exactly.
And, through the events that I've been a part of or even created myself, is the people that will really come alongside you and help you. And I mean, could point you in the right direction, could get people involved that you weren't aware of.
Right.
And I'm always excited for what people are doing, and especially in a community like Starkville or even this Golden Triangle area.
Right.
I think our success and our wins, and as we continue to grow and become more successful, that'll inspire more people. Like what you said at the beginning of this interview is nothing is in a box, nothing is generic. And what do you want to be when you grow up? whatever you want to do, as long as you can figure it out.
Right. And I think that is something that's just so inspiring, going back to seeing everybody have their own ventures now. I think it's just that aha moment of people, because it can be very intimidating. It's so much gray area if you don't know where to start, but you just simply got to do it. And that's, I've been very moved within the past few years, just people understanding that they can do it and allowing the community to hold them and support them as well. So,
I mean, life is not linear. You think you have a path, like I think, you know, I might have thought of this or this, and then an opportunity will present itself that you didn't know was going to, me working at a museum of entomology. It was random. I know my dad had been there, but it was random. You never know what it was going to come, and it might change the course. You may still be the same person creatively and otherwise, but then weird things happen and pop in there, and they give you opportunities, and when you have this opportunity that pops up and it seems right, you just go with it. And you can't quite tell where you don't know where you're going to be or go, but you can definitely, the loose goals are really nice, and I think that's important. But to be open to potential things you couldn't even imagine is good. You know, it's good to have that mindset, I think.
Got to leave room for the magic.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, you know, the goals that you gave are great, and, like, you know, maybe we're April, May of 2025. You can go back in and check in. What did I say? And then, like, look, 6 months went by, and just how crazy.
Right.
You know, because you can't call it.
No, you can't. I never would have dreamed I would be able to work on a farm, but that kind of ignited something in me too. Like, that's another venture I wouldn't mind. I'd be interested in doing horticulture as well. So that's just my thing. I'm never set on one thing. I know I'm an artist, but everything else just kind of complements that, I believe. So
you can maybe potentially tie all these things together.
Oh, you can.
Wouldn't it be crazy?
Everything has a common denominator.
You could do it all.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. That'd be amazing. We're looking forward to seeing where it goes. I am.
Thank you.
Very cool. Well, everybody, this has been Rosemary Jones.
Thank you for having me.
And Joe, thank you for opening up Mars and inviting me out here.
Oh, you're welcome. We thank you for coming.
Yes.
Since I've seen